Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. We review it every single week, and we love it every single week.
Not all the
weeks. I'm Daniel. Not always. Almost never. I'm just kidding. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. We do actually love them, I would say, most of the time.
We normally have good things to say.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd ever, like, really shit on a comic, but there's some ones that, like, there's just a lot of things about it.
Yeah.
That we pointed out.
I would say we like most of them. And to go as far as saying that I would love it would mean that I could recommend it to somebody. And I guess that's not a whole lot
Maybe
of the
Maybe recommend
traits.
It to another comic reader. Because I don't want to have to go through the hassle of getting someone to understand
comics.
The medium of comics.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But other comic readers. Like, I'd recommend it to you, but I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Because we read it here.
Yeah, yeah.
We do this so that we don't have to consistently recommend things to each other.
Exactly. And yell at each other when you haven't read it.
Yeah, we just do it
here. Now we just commit to things. This is honestly a great, like, arrangement.
It really is.
As brothers. Not as, like, podcasters. Like, we can read things. Because we were kind of on different planes before this, right?
Yeah, we really were.
You're reading a ton of Marvel stuff. I was not.
I wouldn't even say just exclusively Marvel stuff. Just like...
like, you were reading a bit of everything.
Like,
you were reading
of the big two stuff, you read different stuff than I did. And of, yeah, like, the independent stuff, you read stuff differently than I did.
You were reading, like, X-Men. I wouldn't touch it. I was trying to get you to read Black Hammer and shit like that.
Well, like...
you just, like, wouldn't... I mean, we just buy different
I just wouldn't
things.
Get around to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, how's your day going so far?
Solid day.
Nice.
Yeah, what about you?
Pretty good. On the way here, something magical happened.
Okay.
There's, you know, like the spot in your car where it's like the Prindle? I don't know what it's actually called.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it says all the letters there? On my car, those letters are supposed to be backlit, and they've never been. But I discovered today that they're supposed to be backlit because the light turned on magically.
Oh, you didn't know they were supposed to be backlit?
I didn't know it was supposed to be backlit. But today, it was backlit on my way over here. And I looked down and I was like, oh my God, I could see what setting I'm on. I could see I'm on D.
I don't
like
have
I
to
should
just
be.
Count the clicks. Or
yeah, no, I've counted the clicks every single time if it was dark.
Dude.
And if I wasn't sure, I'd have to like click on the light in the car to make sure. But today, it was lit. And I was like, oh my God. And like an idiot, I was like, this is incredible. And so I like tapped it with my finger and it turned off and I couldn't get it turned back on. So for that sweet 5 seconds of me knowing that it was on, it was magical. And
I
then
think you
I
just
turned
have
it off.
To like sit in your car the same way, like the rah, and then
yeah, I guess so. My ass has to come in at the right angle.
There's not a lot of things that actually fix itself by hitting it. You know, like how people would like smack on a TV back in the day to get to work. But a car is one of them.
I feel like it is.
Like one time my car was just like playing music just like super quietly for no reason. The cord was brand new.
Okay.
I think I replaced this radio because it like got fucked up one day.
Yeah.
And I just replaced it for like $20 on like eBay. And then it was just playing really quietly and it was super dumb. I was so mad and I just hit the shit out of it and then boom, it's booming. It's so much louder. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so great.
Dude. Yeah. Honestly.
So it's like before turn it off and back on, try hitting it.
Yeah. Hitting your car is like the turn it off and on again of computers.
Basically.
Yeah. And it'll just magically fix things. Yeah. So anyway, that was my day. It was very magical and then I fucked it up. So let's do the same thing with this podcast.
It was
we'll start off magical and then I'll fuck it up.
Exactly.
So we have time codes and descriptions. If you don't care about the news or maybe you're listening in on this legendary episode weeks, months, or years later, and you're like, the news doesn't apply to me. You can skip right to the book.
I tried listening to the Wednesday Pull List, and I was listening to like an old episode, and they were going over like old news, and like it's shit that you just like, you know what happens. They're like, oh, there's going to be a Snyder cut or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
shut the fuck up.
It's
and
so
they don't
weird.
Have time codes, and it drives me fucking bananas.
Yeah.
And so I have to just like fucking skip around to try and find when they fucking start reading
yeah,
the book.
That's why I put it in there for you.
And it's
you.
A goddamn nightmare. They're like, oh, they're going to make a Nightwing movie. I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
They sure aren't.
They announced a Black Canary movie?
They're oh, like, wow. Ray Fisher's out as Cyborg. I'm like, oh my God, that's not even important.
Yeah, that escalates to a much further degree.
Exactly.
But yeah, so there's time codes for the news, for the book that we're reading this week, which is Injustice, Gods Among Us, Year One. There's a lot of like subtitles to that book, but we're doing the first one. And then there's a time code for the back matter and then the pull list where we talk about the other things that we've been reading or watching. So let's get into the news, Daniel. there's not a whole lot of news this week.
Yeah, it was a little slow, and then in the news world, bit of comic books.
Bit of a slow week, but I have one that kind of carries over from last week.
What was last week?
I didn't think it was like that important, but I said that like Atomic Comics is back, and that's a local chain here.
Is it closed again?
No, it's not closed. Okay. But like Joe Quesada of like Marvel.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God, Atomic Comics is back in Gilbert. You should check it out. And I'm like, why does Joe Quesada know about Atomic Comics?
I just saw his name on like Hitmonkey as like a producer.
Yeah.
He's like Hit, like Joe Quesada and like Jeff Loeb are like producers on like everything.
Yeah, they are.
For like Marvel shit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's like a big boy in comics.
He definitely. Like in a good way.
One of the biggest boys in comics.
Yeah. One of the thickest boys we know.
And I think this also, I can't remember if we said this last week or not, but we talked about a Taco Bell commercial and it looked like one of the guys was cosplaying Saga.
Oh yeah, then John Layman talked about it.
Yeah, that's like official. Like Brian K. Vaughn's name is like in that commercial. And Fiona Staples.
No shit.
So like that's an official collaboration. They got licensing for the main dude of Saga to be eating a grilled cheese burrito.
The new steak grilled cheese burrito?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The double steak grilled cheese burrito.
They have a spicy one too. You can put jalapenos in it.
He's putting a mild sauce packet on it.
I know. I saw that shit. I'm like, who fucking uses mild sauce?
Just go big or go home. You know? Maybe not Diablo. That one kind of sucks.
Isn't there like a medium one?
There's hot.
It just goes from mild to hot?
Mild, hot, fire, Diablo.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, hot is like medium, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Diablo is just like Tabasco sauce, basically.
Yeah.
But not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just appalled.
Yeah.
But that's sick.
It's cool. Like it says, based off Saga Comics, Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples.
I feel like I've seen that commercial like in between like football games like uh-huh. a million times. It's always played on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you see it like six times a game.
And now you could flex and be like, I know
that's from Saga.
That's from a comic book.
Saga.
That's from an Image comic book.
Babe, look. Saga. I'll just bring it downstairs. Like, look at it. It's him.
I know this. That's him. He's eating a grilled cheese burrito.
This is Marco.
Marco's eating the burrito. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Good for BKV.
Sometimes things are like a little unbelievable.
Yeah. It's like
Saga is being promoted through Taco Bell somehow.
And he said that he wanted to make a comic book that could never be a live action thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, here it is in a Taco Bell commercial.
This is the best collaboration ever. And then they have like Funko Pops for Saga, but not Invincible, which has an animated TV show.
Oh yeah, that's strange.
Which is,
you have a Lion Cat one in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's up there. Corner.
That's a cool pop.
It's awesome. And like I wanted to get like,
who's the bald dude?
The Will,
yeah. He'd be a cool pop.
Yeah, they got him. I think they have Fat Will and Skinny Will. He gets fat like halfway through for some reason. I can't remember.
Does he? Okay, yeah. Cool.
We'll review it on our 100th episode.
Yeah, that's always been the plan to read on episode 100.
I think about that like every day.
Like,
this is going to be so brutal.
We're going to have to start thinking about that soon. It's like a little over 10 weeks away.
Yeah, like it's like a couple months.
Yeah.
But you know how in Toon the Think Tank, they on like the 100 episodes, they mm-hmm. do like 100 skits or whatever, mm-hmm. and they just have people come and visit and stuff. I think we should do that with everyone who knows about Saga. It's really just like two people, but
yeah, but they'll come in at just like random times. We'll give them like a random time slot.
Yeah, you can come in between like 1 and 3. We'll have to do it on a Saturday because it might be like a 5-hour episode.
Yeah, it will be.
And we're not editing that bitch.
No,
fuck that.
That's gonna be raw.
We'll compress it. We're not doing any news, so no theme songs or anything.
No.
And then that's just it.
We're just putting
it out.
You're
going to hear all our ums, buts, and ands.
It's going to be the equivalent of like a live album.
Exactly. Unplugged.
Yeah. Or like one of those live session albums where it's like all the bullshit in between songs.
Yeah, you hear all like the screaming.
Like, in the background.
I said, how you doing tonight?
Yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to have all the Trade Waiters fans. And it'll just be your fiance.
Like, can I go now? Like, yeah. No. You need to cheer after every issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
You got 26 more to go.
Yeah, so that's going to be a big episode.
Yeah, I'm like, I should start that, you know, just to get ahead,
yeah.
You know, and just take notes.
Yeah, maybe.
For the next, like, 16 weeks or whatever it is.
Speaking of big independent books, are you familiar with Mike Mignola?
Yeah.
He...
Of Hellboy fame.
He is back to do his first full comic in 5 years. And it's going to be...
What do you mean?
He hasn't done like interior page, like written and drawn interior pages in 5 years.
He only does like half of it. Oh, he's been writing.
He writes it a lot of the time.
Covers
and then does covers. But Mike Mignola, this is from I don't know, but this is an article. Mike Mignola famously created the character of Hellboy, but in doing so, he also created a community of characters he collaborated with for almost 3 decades, working on the Mignolaverse. And Mignola is going to be launching Sir Edward Grey Acheron, Acheron. It's basically the first in a series of one shots, and it's going to be, it's in like the Hellboy universe, but it's a sequel to his last thing that he did, which is Hellboy in Hell.
Oh, right. Hellboy in Hell is 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So the story picks up right after the end of Hellboy in Hell and could easily be called Acheron in Hell, but he just called it that, I guess. So yeah, he's finally back.
Nice. Doing good for him. Has he written or drawn anything other than Hellboy? Like, has he done any Big Two stuff?
Isn't he doing like a Pinocchio thing?
Oh, maybe.
What is that? Is that in Hellboy? Is Pinocchio like free?
In Hellboy?
Not open source. What's open source but for fiction?
No copyright or whatever?
Yeah.
It's something like that.
Is Pinocchio that?
Public domain?
Public domain, yeah.
I'm so fucking smart. I didn't even know. I didn't know that, but I said
that's
it.
That's the Chip Zdarsky book, yes.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the one that he's doing on his Substack. But anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I'm poor.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, love Mignola. His artwork is so weird. I love it.
Yeah.
I want that Batman thing that he did, the little black and white figure that he did. And they also came out with a colored one. Looks even better.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're it's so sick.
We should do Gotham by Gaslight. That was him, right?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know why we haven't done that yet.
Good point, Nathan.
There's lots of Batman we can do.
There is plenty of Batman. We could do a whole Batman month.
We could do a whole Batman
Trade
Raiders podcast.
We should do it on Batman Day, which is past already. So we gotta wait
a year.
Gotta wait till next year.
Yeah, we gotta wait for some sort of occasion.
Anyway,
Nathan, what news do you got?
Did you know that Witches has like a TV show coming out?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that was new or old.
Jock is involved with designs and stuff for it too.
Sick. I love it.
So that's good to know.
Nathan.
Hmm.
Sony has announced that there's going to be 3 more Spider-Man movies after No Way Home.
Yep.
So that's kind of been confirmed.
That's cool.
I sent you a video about this, but on a ticket site for No Way Home to get your seats and whatnot, it showed the cast. It showed Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire in the cast.
Yeah.
Spoilers or not, I don't know. It didn't say the website, so it could be fake.
It's probably fake because people were also like,
Could be a fake website, but
you could inspect Element and just type something in as well, like on the website. So there's a couple ways that you could do that. But I think that it's just become a thing where people are either making fake content or they're just so bad at keeping a secret that it looks like fake content.
Even though what the content is real.
Because like even like the movie posters look fake. It looks like somebody made it. So I think that's their strategy, is that they've made the marketing so like half-assed that it looks fake, but it's real.
Because they don't really have to do anything except for drop some trailers.
They really don't. But there was another video that I saw of somebody opening like Spider-Man birthday like shit to like hang on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And it was from the new movie and it had like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield on it.
And Tobey Maguire with a beard.
Yeah, with a beard. And I'm like, I don't think I've seen Tobey Maguire with a beard. So it'd be, you'd need like an actual professional Photoshop it, but it could probably be done.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's part of the strategy, is just like, have people make fake stuff because it gets people interested,
I guess.
This
thing, I think it already like sold more in the first day than like Endgame did.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Which is nuts. And so like the word of mouth on it alone is all it needs.
I think they've orchestrated all this.
You don't need to
have
any...
I think they put out fake content too.
You don't need to put... Yeah, probably. They just leak all this shit and be like, oops.
Ooh, man.
They like don't need to put like ads on buses or anything like that. Like we know.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, what other news we got?
Nathan, Nick Cage was cast as Dracula in a new Universal movie.
Cool.
There are Dracula comics. That's why I say that.
Oh, okay.
But Nick Cage is going
to
be like...
You really make the biggest leaps to connect it to comics.
If there's a comic about it, it's news. It's okay. Comic news. Is that... Are you done with news?
There's a Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen comic.
Yes, there is. Little Monsters coming from Image in March.
Yep. So this is the thing that they're doing after Robin and Batman, which is only 3 issues. So.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The first one's already out. So.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the new series is akin to Lord of the Flies with vampires following the last children living on Earth though living may not be the right word because they're vampires. These vampiric children have lived out what feels like an eternal youth amongst the remnants of human society's fading achievements. So, post-apocalyptic thing, but vampires.
So there's no one else except for them.
I guess so, because they live so long.
Maybe that'll be a short one, too.
I don't know how long it's going to be, actually. But they just realized after 50 issues of Descender and Ascender together, they were like, we don't want to do space anymore. Let's do something different.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. We should do a Descender pretty soon as well.
And then Ascender.
And then Ascender. Because Descender was like 30 issues or something, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's all the news I had.
Same.
Cool. Yeah, a little bit of a brief news week. But we can just go straight into the comic that we read this week, Daniel. And what was that?
It was Injustice. Hold on. Let me get to the page. Gods Among Us, Volume 1. And this is referred to as Year 1 because there was like 5 years of this shit.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
The story takes place before the start of the game, the first game, written by Tom Taylor, a ton of artists.
Tons of artists.
Tons of colorists. One letter, though.
Yeah,
Wes Abbott.
Wes Abbott.
Old Faithful, you know?
I met one of the artists, Mike Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cool. But the other like named one is Jeremy Rapak. But for the most part, I think everybody did pretty well with keeping a consistent feel.
Yeah, I don't think I saw too many like inconsistencies. Like it's kind of like the DC kind of look that they're all like doing.
There's like one or two where I'm like, this is clearly a different guy. But for the most part, it feels pretty consistent tonally.
Yeah, I think the whole first issue was done by just like one person, it felt like. Then you kind of saw differences towards the end.
Yeah.
So anyway,
really good game. Love Injustice.
Pretty good.
I remember where I was when I saw the first gameplay for Injustice, and I was so excited.
Where were you?
I was at my friend's house, and we were watching...
What friend?
Parker.
Okay.
And we were watching it on his mom's computer, because we were that young. We didn't have our own computers. And I believe that day we were also trying to download a free program to make dubstep. it was back in that day. I remember that day very vividly because I was like, man, there's a lot of good things happening.
And how did that go?
Not very well.
Did you find a program?
I'm not a famous dubstep artist. So
did you find a program?
Yes, but we weren't very good at it.
Is there anything out there?
No. Definitely. Maybe. Probably not. I could ask him.
I think it might be fun to make like one dubstep song just to see how it turns out, because I don't think it would take that long.
Have you ever gone back to just like, let me just listen to a dubstep song that I used to like?
Yeah,
it's so fun.
Definitely. I'm like, wow, this used to hit really hard.
And then you're like, but it's kind of crazy now.
I'm glad I'm not a part of this world, you know?
But I remember watching the trailer for Injustice, the game, and I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted. And then I got it and I was like, this is a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it a lot. And I played Injustice 2, and I like that one as well.
I remember it came out, and that was like in a time where I was very dumb. And that was when my favorite superhero was Superman, which is a terrible pick.
I feel like it's all right.
It can be good. It's a terrible pick. No. But like just in general, I was like, yeah, Superman's the best.
Yeah.
And I only used Superman while using this game, and my friends used to always roast me and beat my ass in this game as I was Superman.
They just like beat you with Green Arrow or like Catwoman.
Yeah. Catwoman wasn't bad.
She was very quick. Yeah.
And then like Man of Steel came out and I'm like, wasn't that good? And I was just like, because I didn't like it at like the time. I was like, I didn't feel anything watching that. I was just kind of watching it. You know what I mean? And so I was like, see, it's pretty good. Just because it had a lot of action and shit. Yeah.
You got to force feelings after it.
Yeah, no feelings.
That's so funny.
I'd act like it was the best thing and it was way better than whatever movie.
Yeah. That game is a good time. And this book is a good time.
Does the narrative of the game follow this at all?
Yeah, I would say so.
Like the teams or whatever?
I think that there's definitely a point where they were just like, just do whatever with the books. Because if they were to try and make it happen with the game, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, but
what's interesting in this book is that they definitely design the costumes after the way they are in the game.
Which is fun.
Which is cool. And like there's certain parts, like the main concept of this book is like the main concept of the game, mm-hmm. where Superman, something happens to him and he does something that he can't like take back. And then he just kind of goes on a crazy like control like Rampage,
yeah,
which spirals out of control. And then there's like people that are on Superman's side and people that are on Batman's side, kind of deal.
Right.
So like that concept is consistent in the game, and the thing that happens like to set the story off is consistent. But if they basically did like Injustice the game, the comic book, I feel like it wouldn't be as good, because this is like a really, really fun book. It's like one of the first comics I read where I was like, holy shit, this is insane. Like, everybody's involved here.
It's like, wow, look at all the people.
It's like a good event book.
Oh, yeah. One.
But, like, you don't have to have continuity involved in it at all. Mm. And I feel like it's very balanced as with, you know, even though it is a big universe-spanning book, you get, like, good character moments, like singular character moments.
Yeah.
And he uses the characters well. Tom Taylor's always been good at, like, using superheroes in a very creative way.
Sure.
So, I like this a lot. But let's get into it.
Just for context, you've read like this book for like a while, right? Like, you read a couple years of it.
I can't remember where I stopped, but I think I was either I want to say I passed year two, and okay. I think I was in the year three, because I think year three is where a lot of Green Lantern stuff was happening.
So is it just continuing the story after that point, like after year one, or is it just
it continues off of year one? Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And lots of cool stuff that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
I can confirm.
All right. All right. Let's get into it. Issue one.
Issue one. There's a bit of a foreshadow in the first page, which is the present. And Gotham is quiet, but it's not the kind of quiet that Batman wants it to be, because everyone's hiding in fear, which would normally be cool because that's what his thing is about. But it's not his kind of fear, because it's people are scared of Superman. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, man, what's that about? But 5 years ago, Superman hears two heartbeats in Lois's stomach or wherever babies go. I don't know for sure. And he's very excited to have a kid. And Lois is like, you got to calm down, you big goof. And Lois is called into work on an anonymous tip that she got. And Superman suits up to go meet Batman. And he tells him that he wants Batman to be the godfather of this new kid. And there's a nice little moment and Batman cracks a smile. And you're like, oh, this is all good. I really like the line in the first page. And it says that our world is now ruled by the iron fist of a man of steel. And I was like, that's a dope line. It's a little like on the nose, but it's like kind of cool at the same time.
I like how they showed these like flags hanging that have like the Superman logo on them. As yeah. Like, it's like his own Nazi Reich or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so
like who gets big banners made?
Yeah,
who made those?
Someone had to sew that into
there.
Did
Superman tell people to make those and be like, it'd be cool if I could hang up these big banners?
Yeah, and then it'll be a path down to my door or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, and this is one of the little moments that I like, just between Superman and Batman just chilling and talking. And Batman's like, I know you're having a kid because you're nervous and you don't get nervous. And Superman's like, I want you to be a part of it. And they have like a good, nice moment, which makes the rest of this book even more crushing, because they had a good thing going, you know?
The thing about Superman's like costume design is that his emblem is huge.
It is.
And it's like a plate. It's like this big solid thing.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't move very much with his chest. And just for mobility reasons, it's not practical.
Does Superman really need to be that mobile though?
No, but like I feel like it could pinch him, like the corner could like kind of stab his pec if he's throwing a good punch, you know?
Oh, true, true. I do like that I think that most of the designs are pretty good. I think they try to modernize them. I don't really like the Flash that much.
Yeah, he just looks like Justice League Flash.
Yeah, a bit clunky. But I do like with the Superman one that the cape kind of goes like around the shoulders and into the logo.
Yeah, it's like connected to the logo and just falls back.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, actually. I think that's a good look.
I'm honestly kind of a fan of the collar that Superman has. Like, it's like different.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. They did that, I think, in New 52 for a bit.
It's like a popped collar. So it's like if he put on a Superman polo and he popped the collar like a douchebag.
Not as douchey, though.
It's not as douchey.
It's like, it like stays that way, though.
Yeah, it looks natural on him. Probably mm-hmm. because he looks kind of like a bit of a frat bro.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do like most of the designs. I just don't like the Flash, and I really don't like the Harley Quinn one in this. But I'll get into that later when we see her.
What?
I'll tell you why. It's just weird. I'll tell you.
It's specifically sexy.
No, it's just weird.
You don't like the underpants?
You could see her underwear. Like, in her, like,
Superman?
If she didn't have... Superman has it on the outside.
Anyway.
Let's keep going. So, while investigating the anonymous tip, Lois gets captured by the Joker, and Jimmy Olsen is killed. It's a big rip to him.
I like how they shoot through the camera as he's taking it.
Yeah.
And shoots him in the head.
It's a cool way to die.
Yeah, great way.
They definitely plan
doing that. What he does for work.
Yeah. Looking through a camera. So Superman discovers this later and he immediately goes to Batman for help. And Batman's like, oh fuck, I need the whole Justice League people on a missing persons case. And they're like, why do you need us for a missing person case? And he's like, it's Lois. And they're like, oh fuck. And so Flash, you know, looks through the whole city and he takes Batman to Star Labs in Metropolis to find a dead and smiling Scarecrow. And then Wonder Woman uses her lasso to get information that the Joker went into a lead submarine, which Superman picks up from the ocean.
Real quick.
Yeah.
This is one of the best panels of Wonder Woman I've ever seen.
Yeah, so there's I noticed this too, and I'm like, holy, what the fuck is this?
She's got these Superman huge balloon flying titties.
It's like a head-on view of her flying, like, horizontally.
Uh-huh.
But we're looking at her dead-on, and she's got the biggest jugs that don't seem to be consistent throughout the book.
Right.
They can't even fit them on the panel, Daniel.
They're the off-panel titties.
They're so big. I don't know, like, why that is, or if that's... If that's because she's flying, maybe they just look bigger somehow.
Whoever did this is my favorite one.
They're so disproportionate. Like you know that panel of, or that drawing of Captain America that like Rob Liefeld did?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a tiny ass head and he's got the biggest.
The pecs are like insane.
This is like the Wonder Woman equivalent of that. It's like unreal. So yeah, I did notice that as well. But I really like the scene where Batman just organizes the whole Justice League and he uses them in like a very specific ways. Mm-hmm. So he has like the Flash like run through all the Metropolis in a couple seconds to look for Lois.
Yeah.
And then like Wonder Woman, he uses her to like get information with their lasso of truth, which is smart. So I like that. But I like the gag that the Flash has to like carry Batman places.
Yeah.
I like that they paid attention to that as well. So Superman rips open the submarine and finds a Joker and Harley Quinn operating on Lois with a mysterious green gas around them. And then, oh no, it's Doomsday. Doomsday's there in the submarine, Daniel. So
how did the Joker pin down Doomsday?
And keep him in a submarine.
And we're operating on him.
So Superman's like, oh no, Doomsday's here. So he takes Doomsday and he carries him straight up in the sky. And then the other heroes find out that the Joker added kryptonite to Scarecrow's fear toxin so that Superman would see Lois as Doomsday, which he accidentally carries up into space, suffocating her and their unborn child. But Lois's heart was operated on to be a trigger for a big bomb in Metropolis, which blows up in the distance.
Wiping out all of Metropolis.
All 11 million people in the Metropolis.
And killing Lois Lane and their unborn child.
That's fucking insane. Like, I really...
What is the line here? It's like, and then two heartbeats coming from one person.
Stop beating. Yeah, I really like the pacing like of this whole like last scene because you're like
this whole first issue is so heavy.
It's so and good.
It's such a good attention grabber.
Yeah,
and it's awesome.
It's like it's really creative. Like he uses a bunch of different aspects of the DC universe to really put together like a big plan that the Joker pulls off super well. And the Joker's like, I was kind of sick of losing to Batman, so I wanted to win against Superman, and god damn it, was it easy. Yeah. So it's like that kind of like, you know, kicking him while he's down kind of deal. But yeah, like the whole situation is just super cool. And like, as a young lad reading this initially, I'm like, oh fuck, there's some big stakes here.
I think everything that was happening wasn't uncharacteristic of Superman. Like, it seems like he was tricked in like ways that he would be tricked.
You know?
Exactly. It kind of shows like his vulnerabilities, like compared to like Batman or something like that,
and his like predictability as well,
right?
Because Joker did not miss a step this whole time.
Absolutely not.
So it's pretty,
and Joker didn't even know she was pregnant. He's like, did you know she was pregnant?
That's crazy. Yeah. So part two, because they're in parts, Batman questions Joker about why he messed with Superman and not him. And Joker said that he was tired of losing, like I just said, and Superman is grieving in the middle of Metropolis with Lois's dead body. Wonder Woman tries to comfort him but Superman flies off towards the Joker. Green Lantern tries to stop him from like being irrational for a second.
And what happens, Nathan?
And then Superman swipes his ring with the super speed.
No, first,
so okay, let's go through this because I knew that you were going to bring this up. Green Lantern grabs Superman in a big bubble, and then Superman's like, I'm just going to punch my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite like comic book, one of my favorite comic book logics is that when someone breaks a lantern construct, the glass shards like come shooting out at them. Like, why wouldn't they just like stop the construct at that point.
Yeah,
you know?
Just turn it off.
Just turn it off. But like glass shards are like in the original Justice League New 52, Green Lantern tries to contain Superman in like chains and he breaks the chains. Like, and then the chains like fly off all broken and shit. So I'm like, just turn it off.
It's,
like,
it's clearly very dramatic. Work. Yeah.
But yeah, Superman punches his way out of that. And then when Green Lantern tries to stop him again, Superman just goes really fast and takes the ring off of Green Lantern.
Then he just holds it in front of his stupid little face.
And then he
falls.
Hal Jordan starts falling to his death until Superman just like picks him up at the very end. So yeah, Superman shows up to where the Joker is being questioned. And then he just punches him through the stomach and out the back.
Yeah, just a little Omni-Man punch.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's how I classify that, like always now.
Yeah, just an Omni-Man punch. Yeah, just through the chest, out the back. And that was crazy. I really like this panel of just the moment that he does it. I just think that the composition of it is very good because you can see clearly his hand went super fast because it went through like the back of Joker's clothes.
Yeah.
And like so how bloody. Yeah. It had to like rip because
not
it was going
only
so
his
fast.
Body, but it had to rip through like multiple layers of clothing.
Yeah. And I like the Joker is smiling and Batman's obviously clearly horrified. Superman's very pissed. It's just a good panel. Like, it's one of the pivotal moments of the whole thing.
Definitely. Another strong issue.
Yeah. And
it's like, holy shit.
Before this, when Wonder Woman was, like, trying to comfort Superman, I really like just, there's a panel where she's, like, walking up to him, like amongst all the fiery destruction, and you just, like, see both of their silhouettes, and I think that that's a really cool panel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because Superman's, like, on his knees and stuff. But, yeah. Green Lantern got disrespected, which is... not my favorite thing to
typical.
See. Not my favorite thing to see, but it happens quite a bit. But he does his part in this book, I would say. And I was pretty good at him in the game. So if you want to settle this on...
Oh, dude, you smacked me down with
I like Green Lantern. Forced myself to be good.
Your combos were unreal.
Yeah.
And it was stupid.
Because
I just couldn't do anything because you're always picking me up and shit.
Yeah, but I kind of had an unfair advantage because I also enjoy Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, and it's the same studio, I'm pretty sure, that made them.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, pretty similar combos and shit.
Yeah. I think in the second game, I was Green Lantern, but I was typically somebody else, and I can't remember who it was at this point.
Was it Spawn?
It was not Spawn.
Was it Hellboy?
Dude, the DLC characters in that second game were super good.
Oh, yeah, it was really cool to see.
I think, like, there's Ninja Turtles at some point.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but yeah. So, anyway, meanwhile, Harley Quinn... escapes from an arrest and drives back to her in the Joker's hideout. But Green Arrow meets her there and captures her. But he doesn't want to bring her back to Superman so that she doesn't die. And instead locks her up in his Arrow cave. But I really enjoy the relationship between Harley and Green Arrow. Because Harley is clearly not taking this whole thing seriously. And like just kind of joking around with him. And then Green Arrow is just kind of being a silly character like with his trick arrows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just obviously very entertaining to Harley Quinn.
Right.
And the relationship seems so obvious, too, because Harley is like a silly character and Green Arrow is like a silly Batman, basically. So it's cool that, like, you wouldn't normally think of them interacting.
Like, ever.
Ever. But Tom Taylor just recognized that they're both silly characters and could, like, have chemistry in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, the relationship between them two and the way that they connect is one of the coolest parts of, like, all of year one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the back half. Because
yeah.
We read, like, the first half, but in the back half, they, like, definitely talk a bit more.
Yeah. Like, Green Arrow is just worried that Superman's going to kill her, and
mm-hmm.
so he just got to, like, hold her.
I also like that scene where she's like, why do you call it the Arrow Cave? Like, bats have caves, and that makes sense. Why wouldn't you call it, like, the Quiver? And he's like, that's actually pretty good.
It's much like better.
Yeah, it's much better, actually. So, Superman is in his Fortress of Solitude.
Do you want to talk about Harley Quinn's getup?
Oh, yeah. So, what the fuck is this?
I love it.
It's just like, put on some pants.
It's very skimpy, for sure.
Very skimpy. It's like basically a top that has like the little jester, like
it's
pointed
like a,
tips at the bottom.
Yeah, like kind of like a dress.
See, but like it doesn't cover her whole ass. So, you just see like random thongs and stuff that she's wearing.
Yeah, she's got like this black thong. And then she got the high... boots, Nathan. Don't forget that. It covers up a lot of legs.
She does have high boots, but like it doesn't cover any part of like the middle of her torso as well.
Yeah, a lot of cleavage here.
It's just like two pieces of cloth hanging on her that are
it's
put
like
together
a, it's
by
like vest.
By two belts.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
It follows the color coordination.
Is that what she looked like in the game?
I looked it up. This is like one of two like outfits that she had. You know how everyone had like a couple to pick from?
Oh, she did look like that.
Yeah, so they're just being true to the game. This is not an artist's fault.
Oh, strange.
We have the great game developers to thank for this.
God damn it. And
I kind of like it.
I think it's weird. I think that there's definitely been better Harley Quinn. You don't like
a little cheek showing, Nathan?
I mean, it's fine, but like, I just was like, why is it like that? Like, practically, she'd probably get cold, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Or like, if she does a big spin, then like, all that shit's showing. Like, if she hits someone with the big hammer.
She's got no shame, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess not. And I think that's the only other one I don't like. Everybody else looks pretty good, I would say.
We'll get to it later, but I have things to say about Catwoman's.
Okay, cool.
Anyway.
So, Superman, he's in his Fortress of Solitude. He's listening to the news, which is about Metropolis dying and Superman killing the Joker, until he hears other news about a bombing in a foreign country called Bialya. So, Superman wants to stop the chaos in Bialya and save the people there from like mortars and stuff. And so he does. And he even goes as far as going to the Bialya capital to take their president and takes him to the UN to like hold him accountable for his actions and stuff. But also in that speech, he calls a worldwide ceasefire or else he will come after everybody that tries to hurt innocent lives himself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is like another pivotal moment. But I like that the scene where he actually goes into like the Bialya capital. And he's like walking up to the president and there's like a bunch of guys that like try and jump on him, but he's just like still walking like unaffected. And then he grabs him through like the pile of people that are on him. I think that shit's so good.
He's like, I'd like a word.
Yeah. There's so many like small moments like this that just makes reading superhero comics super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Superman has like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
During part of this.
Wonder Woman tells him to stop because he looks crazy.
He does look crazy.
He's but like shave first and then go.
How does he shave? What does he use?
Is his hair indestructible?
I would think so.
Does he have like a kryptonite razor?
He would probably need a kryptonite razor.
Or
to,
you know,
like,
that little like
through the
you
skin.
Know that little strip that is on razors that like, I don't know, makes it glide or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably kryptonite.
That's probably kryptonite. Something okay. Like that.
Yeah, I bet Batman made it for him.
Yeah, yeah. Because what do you do?
Yeah,
or maybe he waxes it.
Maybe waxing would work.
That would be so painful.
You're not
though.
Penetrating the skin,
dude. Waxing your face. On like the jawline would be so painful.
Mm-mm.
And then if you wax your lip and stuff, you're just pulling your lip up.
But clearly he has a system, because you barely see Superman with a beard.
You can't use Nair, because you can't like burn off hair, like Superman hair at least.
Yeah, probably not. We see Superman on fire all the time. We don't see him go bald.
Yeah, he can fly through the sun probably.
Yeah.
And be
I
fine.
Think he does.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, Tom Taylor.
I'm sure it's like just not that deep.
It's like, probably like it shouldn't be, like, but I think about this because he looks good with the beard and I'm like, I kind of like the beard. And then he shaves it off and I'm like, how did he do that?
Because sometimes like, yeah, he's like indestructible or whatever, but they still like, there's like not like a question to like everything. And it's not that complicated.
I know
where, like, you have to worry about that.
I know that you just got to let it go. And that's how fiction works. And you shouldn't get an explanation for everything. But like, I like thinking up of a fictional solution in my head.
Nathan. How does Edward from like Twilight, they have a kid in like the third movie or whatever. How does he get a boner? There's no blood in his body. He's a vampire.
It's there. He could probably just push it around.
Push what? No, blood. Vampires don't have blood.
Yeah, they do.
It gets all sucked up.
It doesn't get sucked up.
They have no blood in it.
It just sits there.
They have ice cold skin.
Yeah, because there's no blood pumping, which creates friction and creates heat.
If there's no blood pumping, how does it go to his dick?
He pushes it. They figure out a way to push it.
I think the answer was like
they're bloodbenders.
No, I think the answer was like the venom or whatever that's in like vampires that like turns them other people into vampires. He just put that on his dick.
Oh, cool.
Somehow, and that's how it gets hard.
All right, I accept. I accept that.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
So part three. Superman is now getting in the way of U.S. military operations, and he stops like their drone weapons in foreign countries. So to get leverage, they capture Superman's parents, John and Martha Kent, and they use Mirror Master to put them in like a mirror dimension or however that works. I don't really know his powers. He like can use a mirror to travel to other mirrors and just keep them there.
I think of it like the green.
Okay.
To where
yeah.
He can go in it and then pop out wherever he needs to.
With like other planes.
He's the only one that can go in it.
Okay.
So
yeah, I like that.
It's like Swamp Thing.
I really like the Mirror Master. Like the whole concept is pretty cool to me.
Yeah,
I
the
think.
Concept is incredible.
So because
it works really good for this.
Yeah,
because like Superman's like, where are they? And he's like, nowhere you can go.
Yeah, I'm in a mirror. Can you go in a mirror? I don't think so.
Yeah, and then he smashes the mirror, and then he's just talking in a bunch of little shards.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that moment too.
It's excellent.
And so Mirror Master tells Superman to stop what he's doing, or he can't get his parents back. So, but yeah, that's just like Tom Taylor being really creative with all the like toys in the DC Universe toy box.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of the time we just see Superman going up against like magic stuff because it's like, oh, this guy can, he's indestructible. So I guess just magic will make an interesting story. But like, there's almost no magic in this book. It's just like other aspects of the DC Universe outsmarting or like, yeah, basically like outsmarting Superman, which I think is really cool.
Right.
So there's like tons of other ways to like get the upper hand on him. So Wonder Woman and the rest of the Justice League, besides Batman, they band together to help find Superman's parents. So they question the rest of the Rogues Gallery, or the Rogues. I forget what they call themselves.
Actually, there's magic. Raven's in this and gets him out of the Mirrorverse or whatever. That's magic, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Raven is magic, but I don't. He doesn't get into the Mirrorverse because of Raven.
But she got him out because of magic, because she can go to like any dimension or whatever.
I think he gets out himself. Because
I'm looking at it right now. She like pushes him out.
They find Mirror Master. They take his tech. Superman, Flash brings it to Superman. He puts it on. He goes into the largest natural mirror in the world, which is a cool idea as well.
Yeah.
That he would like take him there. But yeah, Flash brings him that. And so he uses that to come in. And then to take him out, I don't think.
They do that at the bar to get the belt. Remember, because he can just jump in the mirror.
Oh, they use Raven to get Mirror Master out, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So why wouldn't she just, like, take Superman into the Mirrorverse? Why do they need his stuff?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Seems like they would just want to do that. Raven gets red when she uses magic, I guess. She's, like, very red in this, and I don't really understand, like, how that works. It makes sense, because Trigon's, like, red. But
I don't remember the comics, or, like, the show. Like,
does she get red?
I thought she got, like... No, she's kind of always just like pale.
Yeah, she's like a gray pale.
Maybe she's like really in tune with Trigon, like here at this point.
Yeah.
To where they just vibe together and whatnot.
I guess so. Could be.
Anyway.
So anyway, he gets his parents out.
Gets them out. Everything's fine.
And meanwhile, Batman talks to the president to tell him that was the wrong way to get the upper hand because it will only unite the league in Superman's favor, which it has. Because they're like, that's fucked up. They took his parents. That's no good. Let's help Superman. And then there's like a scene where Wonder Woman is stopping some military efforts in a foreign country. And then Ares, the god of war, shows up and is like, so you're at the war with people? I know a thing or two about war. I like some war.
Dude.
Also, are you trying to sleep with Superman? He's like just trying to get the tea. Like,
yeah.
He shows up to get the tea.
He's just instigating to get more war. So
yeah.
That he's like diving or whatever.
And then Wonder Woman's like, I'm whatever he needs me to be. And I'm like, I don't understand what that means. Like
booty call.
I guess so.
Whatever.
And so, and then Superman shows up and then Wonder Woman stabs Ares in the chest with his own sword. And that's the end of that.
Real quick. This is like some of the best Wonder Woman I've like ever seen.
It's really good. Yeah.
Like this one panel where like she's like flying upside down. I don't know if you see that.
Yeah. Yeah. When she's like taking down some tanks and stuff.
That shit. Looks so good.
It looks really good.
And just like
her taking out just tanks and throwing them around, really cool.
The coloring is super solid too.
It really is. Like this is one of the parts where the coloring you could tell is different, but they really do a very good job at like rendering her skin.
Yeah, like skin's really hard when you're trying to like color it well.
Yeah.
And it's not like completely blended, but I can appreciate why it's not.
Like that style though.
Yeah, it looks really sick. Like I'm not bashing it at all. It looks awesome.
Because sometimes blending can be bad.
Because if you over blend it, then it looks like too realistic and it's just hard to keep up with.
Sometimes it just looks fuzzy and it's like, why does it look fuzzy?
Yeah.
But I really appreciate that she's just bulletproof. She doesn't have to like use her bracelets to like block bullets.
And she can fly.
She can fly like
this,
definitively.
Which is like, yeah, definitively. Like she definitely can.
Yeah. Unlike the movies where it's like, can she fly?
One where it like bounces off of her cheek. That's a sick panel.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
And she's just like walking.
And she just looks fierce this whole time.
Absolutely.
So I really enjoy it. And the fact that she takes out Ares is cool. But I think what's weird is that Ares is here at all. Like he doesn't come back at all. But I wonder, it made me wonder, like, do you think Tom Taylor was like obligated to include every character from like the game in this series, because Ares is in the game, I'm pretty sure
he probably was like shooting for it.
Probably.
You know, just to... I think he did it well.
I think this felt justified enough to like, not be kind of, like, out of place and weird.
Not all of but these scenes are, like, in the movie, just to kind of make it flow a little bit better.
Sure.
And I think that worked well.
Yeah.
Like, that Catwoman scene with Superman is super short.
Yeah.
And this isn't even in there. And so, like, yeah, I think when you're making, like, a game based off of... Or a book based off of a video game, you have to try and include everybody.
I wonder if that was, like, a contracted thing, though. Actually, I don't even know. Was everybody included?
I'm not sure who we're missing.
I'm going to look up a list real quick.
Okay. Was Black Adam in this?
He wasn't in this. I think he shows up later. But yeah, Black Adam was a character. Oh, Bane's not in this either?
Yeah, he is.
He's in this part?
I think he's... No, I think he's in...
He might like, be in the later
in
part.
Arkham.
Is he like in the background?
In the cells or something.
Yeah, probably. Deathstroke. We didn't see any Deathstroke in this book.
Oh, true.
Killer Frost.
Yeah, there's a lot of people left out.
Lex Luthor. Sinestro. I forgot about Sinestro.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, so maybe not everybody, but...
I think
he tried to fit everybody in there as much as he could.
Mm-hmm. I think he was just really shooting to put like as many as made sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is probably smart, too, because if people play the character, they'd be excited to see that character in this game. So
yeah, for sure.
So anyway, issue 4, Superman shows up to the Batcave and is like, how come you didn't help me find my mom and pop? Which is where Batman takes the stance of telling Superman that he needs to stop what he's doing because it's no good. So they get into that whole argument of like scaring people into peace and, you know, what's one life to save a million scenario. But then like justifying like does killing one man, does that make it easier to kill another man? Like all of those ethical dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the ethical aspect of this issue because it's like cool seeing Superman sort of bring up the tactics that Batman uses in Gotham, but just like on a global scale.
Yeah.
Because it makes Batman definitely seem like a hypocrite a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also like more talk later between the two where Superman brings up Bruce's dead dad and is like, how come you aren't being a dad to Damian, you dumb bitch?
Yeah,
kind of deal. And then Batman punches Superman, which like does nothing. He just like sits there like hard as a rock.
And he just like breaks his hand.
And I think that like the whole scene is done very well. Like there's clearly like two different views and like you can kind of get behind both. Which is really cool. That's definitely important for a book like this.
Yeah, like you want, like it's almost like they're trying to paint him as like a bad guy, but then he also like has a point to an extent, but it just keeps going like further and further.
It just, yeah, it keeps like going one step further
every
single issue, which is cool. So like, yeah, like you said, Superman just keeps getting pushed a little bit further, but you're kind of with him at the same time. You just want everybody to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Aquaman comes in and he causes some chaos when some fishermen begin to kill some sea life. So the Justice League has to enforce the ceasefire on the ocean as well. And Wonder Woman tries to use her words for a second there, but it blows up into a big fight when an Atlantean fires at her. So there's a big old fight that happens. Wonder Woman almost gets drowned. And the fight gets to a point where Aquaman brings out the Kraken to stir some shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Superman shows up and forces him to call it off. So he does, but Aquaman also kind of shows his big dick energy a little bit by having like Atlantean armies show up on the coasts of like tons of different countries and stuff. And he's like, the ocean's my kingdom. Don't try and rule it. Kind of deal.
Trying to flex on him.
Yeah. And so like Aquaman's perspective in all this is also very interesting because he does not like, he thinks all of the surface world stuff is kind of petty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool seeing his perspective.
Yeah.
Cause definitely from Aquaman's view, like he owns most of the world.
Yeah, like 70%.
70%. Like the shit going on in like the 30%, he couldn't be bothered by it. And yeah. I'm like, that makes sense that he would react this way.
Mm-hmm.
But in an attempt to stop this view, Superman, Green Lantern, Shazam, and Wonder Woman all lift Atlantis in like a big dome. And they lift it out of the ocean and they hold it hostage in the desert. And Aquaman is like finally able to talk peacefully to Wonder Woman. And Arthur says that he didn't think Superman was capable of something like this. Because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Took a whole city of people. That's crazy. And so Aquaman stands down, but he also says that he's sorry about Lois. And Wonder Woman takes that information back to Superman, but leaves out the part about Lois.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that Wonder Woman wouldn't tell Superman everything in this scenario. But I think that she likes the way that he's going, I guess.
I don't even think if she did tell him, it would make that much of a difference, because I don't think we see like Aquaman again after this.
No, not really.
So
he does come back later, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like his part in the game as well. He's like a big part of it. But yeah, for this trade, that's like the last we see of Aquaman. But yeah, big stuff. Green Lantern makes a big dome, like a big fishbowl for all of Atlantis.
Pretty impressive.
That's pretty crazy. And it's funny that like they all help to push Atlantis out of the ocean. Like they all just get under it and like fly up.
Yeah, Superman's like strong and all, but it definitely seems like he needed like some help with that.
He needed help from Wonder Woman and Shazam.
Uh-huh.
I wish we saw more of Shazam as like a kid in this, because he's mainly just like adult. I don't know, because that might be kind of a cool perspective for him to be like a kid and be like, this is all kind of adult stuff. I don't know what's really going on here, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, part five, the Flash is doing a big run to do a bit of thinking. And he's on like the longest, the longest road, the longest straight road in the world.
In Australia.
Which is in Australia. And that's just like kind of a cool thought too. Like Tom Taylor did a Google search and he's like, what's the longest straight road?
Yeah, because like
Flash there.
That whole country or continent, it's like,
it's both.
It's not just, it's not like filled with cities. Like most of the cities are like on the coast.
Yeah.
But there's like also roads to get to each one of them.
And there's like a big long road that goes for 90 miles, I guess.
And there's actually, you can drive from like one end to the other and it takes like, it's like driving across the U.S. It takes like 40 hours or something.
Oh, okay.
And so, but I imagine there'd be a pretty long, just straight one.
Yeah. And it's cool to think that the Flash has found this place and is like, this is where I go to think. Like, I like that Tom Taylor takes the time to put this in there.
This man can run on water.
Yeah, he could just run across the ocean, I guess.
I'm sure running on water is, like, a little shittier.
But what if there's, like, waves, like, big waves that are bigger than man?
He runs through them.
Just through the water?
Doesn't he?
I think it's kind of like...
Or does he go, like, over it?
Like I think he, like, I think it's like a ramp where he just kind of, like...
he gets fucking shot into space.
He hits a wave, he runs off into space. I think that's what I imagine happens.
Or, like, run around it, like, before it breaks or whatever?
Maybe. Because, like... If you are running across the ocean and you encounter a wave, you would have to go around it. Like, I can't imagine he stops himself enough to, like, not fly off the wave.
I wonder
to,
if
like,
he,
go down it, you know?
I wonder if, like, he stopped for, like, something like that and he, like, started to sink or, like, float or whatever. If he can just, like, get started back up after the wave passes.
Yeah, does he have to, like, swim really fast and then transition into running?
Because, like, you have to also bring your body up. And so, if he's just, like... swimming but just upwards,
oh, he could just kick his legs a lot and then he propels himself into the air.
Running on water is not possible, and like no matter what, it's not gonna happen. So like
it's possible.
We're probably overthinking.
Like
what do you mean
I can't do it?
Oh, those fucking lizards, huh?
Yeah, those lizards do it. If you have enough like what, like, because water has like a lot of surface tension to it.
I don't know what that means.
It means that it's hard to break water. Like we can do it because we're big heavy people, right?
Yeah, we're bigger than water.
But if you have like big flaps like those lizards,
uh-huh,
and you're just quick enough, you can go quick enough to where you can just run on top of the water,
right?
So it's definitely a thing that you can do. Anyway, the Flash is running, he's doing a bit of thinking,
right?
And he's just experienced Superman and Wonder Woman taking down a new superhero that thought he could stand up to Superman for his country, but he gets crippled in the process.
He was created by I think Australia.
Yeah. And he's like, you can't do this to Australia, and then they just pummel him into the ground and he gets paralyzed. So that's not good. But Batman shows the Flash that the kid was like a huge fan of the Flash and like the whole Justice League. And now, but that view of them was just shattered, just like his spine was.
Yep.
So yeah, big universe. Like it's a big universe spanning book, but I really like just the individual, like small moments like this to sort of balance it all out.
Because
I feel like with a lot of event books, it's like, oh, this is like the biggest thing that's ever happening. And it's just that all the time. But these little moments to sort of like break up the pacing is super important for me.
Yeah, definitely. Not just like go, 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 bigger, bigger, bigger.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And like, then I like how people like the Flash are kind of going through their morals when they're like agreeing all this.
Yeah.
And like helping with all this.
And they're having second thoughts in some circumstances where they're like, maybe it's not good to be on Superman's side.
Yeah.
You know, on Gotham News, Superman stops Two-Face from killing people live. And Superman makes a statement saying that he's going to protect Gotham from the villains in Arkham that have escaped time and time again. So Batman and Nightwing get in the Batplane to go stop him. But Damian stays back in support of Superman. And at Arkham, it turns out Damian is on the Justice League side, and he's, like, there. And so Cyborg starts teleporting a bunch of convicts to some mysterious other area until Batman activates a virus in Cyborg's system and sort of, like, takes him out.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, a weird foreshadowing page that's, like, a bit out of place pacing-wise, and it, like, foreshadows, like, his son is dead or whatever. But that's, like, only one page, and then it goes to, like, the next part.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a little bit weird.
I don't like those that much because it does kind of take the shock out of what's about to happen.
Yeah. But I do, I really think that this scene is smart because it definitely makes Batman look like a bad dude for defending psychopaths and like literal murderers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you can't touch them. Like they're fine.
Yeah.
So I think that just this whole situation definitely paints Batman in a bad light, but morally he's right. And it, you know, at this time, it just so happens that Green Arrow is admitting Harley Quinn into the asylum. But then he's like, oh, shit, there's like everybody here. So maybe I should go be a part of this. And so he leaves Harley cuffed, but she manages to like get into the Arkham like system and turn off all of the power dampeners and open all the cells in Arkham. And so this includes Solomon Grundy, who comes out through the floor and he grabs Robin by his head and then he takes him away.
Yep, he's a big old boy.
Yeah, and he does his normal poem or whatever about Solomon Grundy, and he's born on a Monday,
mm-hmm.
and all that. I like how big Solomon Grundy is.
I love big characters.
Yeah, he's a big brute in the game, and he's a big brute here, and he's always fun to see.
Just like the proportions, like he's able to like grab Robin's like head and shoulders at the same time.
Yeah,
with like, just the one hand.
Yeah, and it's just like
his huge. One of his fingers is like one of Robin's arms, basically.
Yeah, basically. He's got huge biceps as well.
Gigantic. Grundy lifts.
Yeah. It's cool that he comes out of the ground as well. And then part six.
They just bury him or something.
Yeah. Part six, the last part. The League helps to save Robin, and Batman finishes Grundy for now. And then Robin and Nightwing are arguing about whether they should be protecting these villains at all. And then Damian gets a little angry, and he throws his baton at Nightwing, which hits him on the head, causing him to fall over.
In the temple.
And that causes him to fall over, and then he falls on a rock, which breaks his neck. And then Batman's, like, really hurt by this, and he viewed Nightwing as, like, a son, and then he carries him off. And that was, like, the foreshadowing that we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did that because we're made to think that it was going to be Damian, because he said that this is, like, his son.
Because Damian's, like, his actual son.
His actual, like, blood son. But, like, it kind of hurts a little bit more knowing that it's Nightwing, because, like, that's like his metaphorical son.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's kind of a cheap way for Nightwing to die a little bit.
I fucking hate this issue.
Yeah.
Like, I remember reading it the first time, and I remember the cover. I'm like, oh, maybe it's not in this one. But then I saw the cover. I'm like, ah, the crap, it's in this one. Because it's just like a dumb way to die. Like,
yeah.
I know they have to make it seem like an accident or whatever, but I don't know. It's just not how I thought like Nightwing would go. And yeah. There's definitely like a better, more dramatic way for it to happen.
They also tease it in an earlier like issue where he throws the baton at him and he like knows that he normally catches it.
Yeah.
So like they kind of build it up to this, which makes it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But still just the idea that Robin throws a baton at him to be petty and then it actually hits him because he's distracted with all the other villains. And then he just like falls on a rock. You know?
It could be like
it's just weird.
It could be like Robin throws the shit at his head. Nightwing has to stop what he's doing to grab it.
And then he gets stabbed by his ass.
Yeah. Or shot in the head by Deathstroke. That's how Deathstroke comes in.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. The Deathstroke's here now.
Yeah. He's just a dude. So
or he gets frozen by Killer Frost.
He can be shot in the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets punched by Hellboy.
Can you imagine if Hellboy just comes in randomly?
He gets sent to hell by Spawn.
The Ninja Turtles whack him with the big stick.
They give him some pizza and he chokes on it.
Some bad pizza.
He chokes on a
mushroom pizza.
He burns his tongue with the hot cheese.
That would be better.
During this fight, before this happens, Superman just flies through Grundy, and it's awesome.
It's pretty cool. But you'd think he'd just be able to fly and just pick up everybody and put them back in their cells, like, really quick.
I definitely thought about that, like, multiple times during this. I'm like, yo, he can just, like, grab everybody, put them where they need to be.
Same thing with the Flash, because, like, the Flash is here at some point.
Yeah.
So,
but like I think that
they do
like knowing how
Flash
overpowered Superman is like makes it hard to have like a good plot.
Yeah,
and you have to just kind of like ignore those things for it to move forward.
Yeah.
And you know, make it like, seem like he there's like a fight here.
He is like distracted too, because he's like talking to Batman like a little bit. So I think that gives me enough to like suspend my disbelief or whatever.
I think he's got the same powers that he does like in the game. You know, you can fight Batman or whatever, or whoever human character that has no superpowers,
mm-hmm.
and lose.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably what they're going off of.
Yeah.
Because if the actual scale was there, then you just pick Superman every time. Yeah. It's not a good game.
It would
game.
Just be nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing I noticed is that the artists do this. They do this like somewhat often, but in this issue especially, anyone with like a face mask that like covers their eyes with white, they have that sometimes, but then other times it's just a face mask with regular eye holes, and it's kind of weird.
Wait.
Batman switches from like white eyes to like normal human eyes with like no makeup or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty consistently. And it happens with both Nightwing. It doesn't happen with Nightwing here, but it happens with Robin.
Uh-huh.
Like in the same issue, he's got the white eyes. And then when he throws a baton, I guess the artist is like, we need to show that he's angry. So they just take away the white eye holes.
It makes me really uncomfortable when Batman has human eyes.
That's definitely the weirdest one. For sure.
Like when he notices that Dick died.
Like when in this panel, what did you do? And like his eyes are like fucking wide open. It's just like a little bit strange. But I understand why. But I think I might prefer just pick one.
I mean,
you can make white eyes look expressive too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like most characters are like that, or a lot of characters are like that.
Yeah.
It definitely feels more grounded when they do that. Because like in Earth One, like we were talking about, like, it's all that.
Yeah.
It looks good. It doesn't bother me
at
all.
And they stick with it, though. That's the important part.
And they stick with it, yeah. But if I had to pick,
yeah,
white eyes all the way.
So that's basically like the big finale of this trade. There's like some wrap-up stuff that I'll just run through real quick. But to wrap up, Superman finds Catwoman to get her to talk to Batman, since he like feels really bad about Nightwing dying. And he's like, Catwoman, can you talk to him? And then Catwoman's like, just talk to him. Like, why don't you do it? But she does it anyway, so she goes to Batman and shows support.
Yeah.
So, you don't like this Catwoman?
So, hold on. So, that one page where she's, like, pulling on her rope or whatever.
Yeah.
Her ears look like horns, and I just don't like it that much.
They sure do, yeah.
This whole, like, design is, like, a bit much, but I honestly think it's one of the better ones.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, it's not just, like, a big black leather
vacuum sealed
suit or whatever. Yeah. So like it's kind of steampunk.
There's some leather in there. Yeah, there's some,
and
like
she's got like the goggles and stuff.
Yeah.
So what's kind of cool, I don't know if it's actually cool, but like her tail is like her whip. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like,
I did not. Is that
because if you that panel where I was just talking about, she's using it to like go from building to building, and then when she's not using it, she just puts it out like on her butt or whatever, and it's like her tail.
I had no idea, dude.
Yeah,
unless she just had a rope.
Yeah,
she sticks it in her butt and just lets it drag behind her.
She sticks it in her butt, but it's there's some sort of
she
holster.
Sticks it in there and clenches real hard.
Yeah, and this would just be like a pain in the dick to put on, because like you put the black part and then all the additives, like she's got like a little backpack thing.
Yeah, it takes a minute.
And then her gloves are like, like the fingers look like knives.
They're pretty mechanical.
Yeah, looking. It's like cool and all, but
I can see where you're coming from with that.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like a love and hate thing.
I think I love it more than I hate it, for sure.
Yeah, like, same.
Because I think that in general, yeah, the vacuum sealed Catwoman is not like, I'm not super crazy about it. It's definitely better than Pit Holes Catwoman.
I don't know. That's a good one, Aiden. Aiden, that's one of the best.
That's
what
not
talking
one
about?
Of the best. I like Joel Jones' interpretation of it, but I like this, I think, a little bit better. So anyway, yeah. So Batman or Superman goes to Catwoman. Catwoman goes to Batman, shows support. And then out in Gotham, they are met by the president, who needs their help to form a team and stop Superman's Justice League, because they're getting too involved in worldwide conflict.
Look at Catwoman's dumpy in this one, dude.
Let me see.
The top panel right there.
Oh, yeah. She's bending down real hard.
She's
like squatting.
She like just landed on like a ledge of a building,
and
it looks
squat.
Like she's about to do like a sumo deadlift, and the cheeks are just out there.
Yeah,
it like she's supposed to be kind of like a sexy character, but that seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot. Yeah, she's like, oh, we're talking. Let me just get into my talking position and just like squats down.
Yeah.
So yeah, the president is like, Batman, I need your help. Let's form a team and stop Superman Justice League. because they're getting too involved in worldwide conflict. So they basically just like get together in a team that includes the Huntress, Black Canary, Green Arrow, Black Lightning, Batwoman, Captain Atom, and Aquaman. And that's the end of that. That's like the end of this trade, basically.
Right.
But it's like this whole thing is like a 12 issue thing. So it makes sense for it to like end here because it's not really like a this isn't the full story.
Yeah.
But it definitely wraps up like the first, like this first half is definitely like pretty crucial, and it sets it up for like the second half as well.
Yeah. It seems like a good stopping point because then you'll be like, oh, the next trade will be like they execute their plan or whatever.
Yeah. Like this is like this feels like the end of like the first act.
Do you remember how year one ends?
Yeah.
Okay.
They use Captain Atom pretty well to like take care of Superman. There's, I guess, spoilers if you don't want to know, but
I watched the Injustice movie, the animated movie.
Does it end in the Fortress of Solitude?
No.
Where does it end?
Some field somewhere.
Does Green Arrow die?
Yes.
Okay.
But not, I remember that issue because that's a really good fucking issue.
Really, really good issue.
Like that was like the first comic that like brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, it's really very emotionally.
And they just fucking glanced over it.
And it is, yeah, that's like the most memorable part of like all of Injustice for me.
It was like Lois Lane dying, the Joker being killed, Nightwing dying. Then Green Arrow.
And then Green Arrow dying, but like realizing that he's going to die. And he's just thinking about Black Canary in like his final moments as he's being like punched to death by Superman.
Yeah. So in the movie,
it's just like really gripping.
He just gets like lasered in the face by Superman, and Batman's like, we gotta go.
And that was we gotta go now.
And Captain Atom got whooped, like he was like outside and they're going to the Fortress of Solitude to steal like a anti-Kryptonian gun thing.
Sure.
And the door's just open, and then he's just like holding Black Adam by the throat.
Oh, cool.
And so he was supposed to be like kind of same power or whatever, same power level to where like it could potentially be a good fight, but they just really brushed across it.
Gotcha. So we'll talk about the Injustice movie in a second. Let's get through Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
It's just some covers, some variant covers, but they're like video game covers.
Yeah, it's like all,
they're not like drawn.
No, it's like they're stills from like the game almost. Or like concept art.
I think they're stills / concept art from, like, I think these are in the actual game.
Yeah.
I think it's concept art, but for, like, the loading screen or the start screen in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there's, like, if you don't push start, it just, like, cycles through some, like, imagery, and I think these are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is just, like, it's the game cover. Like, that's literally all it is. And then the rest of them, Superman, lasers, Batman. There's one where, like, the Joker is about to crowbar Green Lantern, but I can't imagine a scenario where that would be the case, you know? Is this one right here.
You just like,
just use your ring.
Yeah, make a shield.
Make a shield. Make a big oven, not an oven mitt, a baseball glove, and pick them up. You know,
so overused.
A punching glove.
A mattress.
Yeah, make him punch a mattress.
If I ever wrote a Green Lantern book, I would use the most outrageous things for constructs.
Those are the best writers.
Because like when it's a baseball glove or like, I don't know, baseball bat. Yeah. What else is it? A big punching glove or
big
whatever?
Punching glove. Those are like the lame ones. Like, it's fun to see every once in a while, but when there's like a good one.
What was there's the...
like, Jeff Johns would make like... Well, actually, Kyle Rayner is one of my favorites because his deal is that he never does a construct twice. So he always just like does something different.
What was that? I can't remember what we were watching, but Green Lantern constructs an elevator just to lift people up.
That is the Justice League animated movie. Somebody's falling off a building. He catches them with a baseball glove, and then he turns that baseball glove into an elevator and rises them back up to the top of the building. And then it dings at the end.
There's a Justice League animated movie?
Yeah.
What
or no, sorry. It's not called a Justice League animated movie. It's called Justice League War, I think.
Oh, right. And that was basically just the first trade of
the
New
first
52.
Trade. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I really like that too because it's like, it's silly.
That
like,
was fucking hilarious.
It's like the best part.
That's like, I'll never forget that one. It's one of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, super fun.
But anyway, yeah, some just kind of
concept art. That's all it is.
Whenever there's like a video game one, it seems like there's a lot of stuff like this. But anyway.
So let's get into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
And before we get to comics, You watched the Injustice Gods Among Us animated movie. Correct. I did not have the time, but okay. I'm interested in what you thought about it.
It's only about an hour 15, I think.
Okay.
So it's really brief. Swift. So I found time for it. It worked really well as an animated movie. Like, I thought those, you know, pivotal parts of the book that, you know, that made you like sad just hit like so much harder.
Cool.
In the movie, which I thought was awesome.
Did Nightwing die the same way?
Yeah, but he didn't fall on a rock. It was just like the blow to the head that killed him.
Oh, okay. That's even like, a little bit cooler, I guess.
Yeah. There's like a lot of really little things that were different. I have a whole list, but
okay. What are the good changes? What are the bad changes?
Bad changes is that the Flash found the Scarecrow, and then there was a booby trap for him where it sets off like the fear gas, and then there's just like little saw arms that come out and like cut his head off or like kill
him. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, but like he dies super early.
Oh, that's he actually dies there?
He dies there. And then he's never in the rest of it.
Oh. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Like it was
they're just
fine.
Trying to get rid of him.
He's not that pivotal the rest of the time.
Yeah. That sucks.
Do you remember if Plastic Man was in the end of year one?
No.
Yeah, so he's in it and he's a huge part and it's awesome.
Okay, cool. I like some Plastic Man.
There's a part where they're in like the Watchtower. And when they're talking about like how there's going to be all these rules and stuff like that, he's like, well, what about me? Someone who like was a criminal needed like second, fourth chances.
Yeah.
In order to turn things around, you know,
that's and a great perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So that was really cool. Good thing about it, the Harley voice actor was like not annoying. And so I really appreciated
was
that.
Was it Tara Strong?
It's the person who voice acts for Adam Eve, actually.
Okay.
But
I'll
wrong.
Look it up. What else?
So there was no Kraken thing. There was no like fight with Aquaman.
Sure.
He was just like a part of the Justice League. And then he's like, I'm not going to be a part of this or whatever. Like everyone who just doesn't want to be involved, just leave the Justice League.
Okay.
All the Green Lanterns go to Oa.
Yes.
Martha Kent wasn't in it. And so Mirror Master just captures John for some reason. So in the first year, in year one or whatever of this, does Nightwing like go to like heaven?
No, not that I remember.
Okay, I'll leave that for you to watch that.
Is it weird? Part.
It's so fucking weird.
Okay, cool.
But it's really fun. I liked it a lot. It was so dumb.
Okay, nice.
So
no big Kraken, but does he do things? Does Aquaman do things in this that much?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is Grundy in it?
Grundy is in it.
Cool.
There's this one thing. So for some reason, I can't remember. It's too long to explain why Superman goes to the Oval Office and like picks up the president.
Yeah.
And all these like soldiers come in or whatever, or like guards, and they're all pointing a gun at him. And he like turns his head to a little bit and sees them out of like the corner of his eye and is able to heat up all of their guns at the same time and like melt them. Is that a power of Superman?
He probably could just use his heat vision.
But no, it wasn't like a laser. It was like he can control heat or something. Like he was like pyro or something. Or like it was so weird.
No, it doesn't sound
like
something that's typical.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, it was just like really weird for me.
But other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Definitely watch it.
I think I will try and find time for it.
I don't think... So after the point that we dropped off at, I didn't know what was like
what was coming.
Part of the book and what wasn't. So I was just kind of like
sure.
Taking notes. So tell me how year one ends in the comics, as much as you can remember.
Superman grabs his parents. He keeps them safe in the Fortress of Solitude. Batman is trying to get to something that's also in the Fortress of Solitude. He talks to Superman's parents a little bit. Green Arrow gets the thing that they need while Captain Atom is distracting Superman in space, and he blows up in space. Like,
okay.
That's how he dies, and it's really cool.
Okay.
And then Green Arrow shoots the thing off of an arrow into where, like, the rest of the League are, like Black Canary and all that, and then he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Superman outs Batman as being Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
And then Batman topples the Watchtower, like, in space.
Oh.
Like, he, like, self-destructs the thing, basically.
Okay.
So everybody just like teleport out of there and they can't use the Watchtower anymore.
So they didn't do that with the Watchtower. They didn't out
Bruce But my favorite Wayne. Part about outing Bruce Wayne is that Superman just tweets it. He's got like a verified Twitter account and he just says Bruce Wayne is Batman. And then everybody goes fucking crazy. And then he like takes down the Watchtower. And
what does Superman even tweet about?
I don't know. Truth and justice. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like the big parts that I remember. He uses Martian Manhunter like very well. Like he distracts people using Martian Manhunter.
Uh-huh.
Like they think that they have Superman at some point, and then he just like changes into Martian Manhunter and flies off. And you're like, oh fuck, that was cool. I just remember that being really fun. But yeah, like it's stuff like that.
So how does it end? Do you remember, like,
with Green Arrow dying, and then they get away with the thing that they need?
Okay, and then it just continues in year two.
And it continues in year two.
Okay.
I don't remember too much about it, but Green Lantern, like the whole Green Lantern Corps, gets more involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow Lanterns get involved. Hal Jordan becomes a Yellow Lantern. It's there's a bunch of cool stuff that happens for sure.
Okay. Are you gonna watch this at some point?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
You can spoil things if you want.
I think it'll be just way more satisfying if you watch it. Okay. And then maybe we can talk about it later.
All right, cool. So then let's talk about what we picked up this week from the shops. For me, it was a light week.
Super light week. I got two things, Nathan.
I got the Human Target.
Same.
And I got Batman Detective number 6. So that was like the last issue of that with Tom Taylor, writer of this book, right, and Adam Kubert. I think I'm behind a couple on that. And then I picked up Chew number 10.
Chew 10 came out? Motherfucker.
Yeah. And those are the three things I picked up. That's it.
I picked up Firepower 18.
Nice.
And that's it.
And you're loving that book? You're all caught up?
No, sir. I'm on like 10.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
And it'd take like an hour to catch up. So,
yeah.
I'm not
That'll
not
be a fun binge read, I'm sure.
And did you read anything this week?
I did. I read The Human Target.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't read it. How'd you like it?
It's great. I think that it's the level of excitement I had for the first one continued on to the second one.
Nice.
And throughout that. And I really think it's just like how polarizingly incredible the art is.
Mm-hmm.
Every page is just a marvel to look at.
Nice.
It feels like. Love definitely that. Like should win 1,000 Eisners for Greg Smallwood and Jordi Belair alone.
Oh, yeah.
The story is definitely very fun and paced in a in a good manner. And there's not a whole lot of like biblical talk, which I don't like all the time with like Tom King stuff.
Oh, sure.
So like I think everybody's like firing on all cylinders in a way that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for the series.
Sick.
And then I read The Hulk number 1 by Donnie Cates and Ryan Ottley.
Yeah.
Which came out last week, and it is wild.
Yeah.
It's like
that combination should be the most wild thing.
It is. It's like the most insane ideas writer with the most insane ideas artist.
Yeah.
And it creates an insane book.
Just, lovely.
So it's definitely like big in scale and fun ideas for the Hulk. And it's really good. I'm definitely excited for it. They put Hulk in a space suit, which is cool.
Nice. Love that.
And basically like,
does he even need like an oxygen tank?
There's a reason for it.
Okay.
Basically the idea is that Bruce Banner is, there's three different people. There's Bruce Banner. There's Bruce Banner controlling the Hulk. And then there's Bruce Banner inside the Hulk, but like in his mind, he has like his own little fortress with like the crazy rampaging Hulk in like a mind fortress. And when he needs to get really angry, he like will conjure up things in his mind to attack the rampaging Hulk, which makes him more angry on the outside. It's a bad way of explaining it. It works pretty cohesively, and I like the idea behind it.
Okay.
So like he's fighting Iron Man in like the Hulkbuster suit, and he needs to get more angry. So he conjures up like a whole army of like tanks and stuff to shoot at the rampaging Hulk in this like mind fortress thing. And that makes him more angry in reality. And at one point, Iron Man uses like an adamantium trap to trap the Hulk's arm. And so he makes the Hulk rampage so hard to a point where he like the Hulk in reality rips his arm off to get free from the trap and continues like beating up Iron Man.
Yeah, I saw that. That tweeted by Ryan Ottley.
It's fucking awesome. And like, I feel like Ryan Ottley just puts himself in situations where he can draw a lot of blood, but Marvel doesn't like red blood, so they give him green blood.
Because
it happened in like Spider-Man 2. There's like a scene where the Avengers are beating up aliens and it's all green blood all over the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like it seems like everybody is, again, going all crazy.
Nice.
As they should be. So I'm really excited for that book. It's just insane. That cover, like the main cover, is one of the coolest covers.
Oh, definitely. Too.
So yeah, really good book. What did you read this week?
I read The All-Nighter, number 3.
Oh, did that come out?
It did. It came out like yesterday, I think.
Nice. I'm going to have to pick that up.
And dude, it reads like normally. Like the swipe, you swipe to the left to
read like a normal book. Two was that way either.
I don't know.
It might have been a bug. I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, I was like looking for that before I started. I clicked it and it was like, it was normal.
Hmm.
So maybe it was just like a bug or you downloaded the...
Look, it's telling me again. This is issue 2. Whoops, wrong way. This book was created to be read from right to left. So tap the left to go forward.
You should screenshot that and be like, Chip, what the fuck? It was the first issue like that?
The first issue and the second issue, yeah. I'll have to download the third and see if it's that way too. But it might just be a bug.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah.
And then also started Dark Ages today.
So fun, right?
It's very fun.
That's another Tom Taylor big universe book, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah,
it was the first issue was like terrifying.
Yeah,
because I had no idea where this was going.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I thought the lights just turned off, man.
But it's cool because they like I haven't read issue 2 yet. I'm really keen on reading it, but
Yeah, because like I was like,
did you read issue 2?
I did read issue 2, 1 and 2. Okay, and so it starts off just being them dealing with like the situation. And then it like I was like, OK, so the big issue was like the first issue. I thought it was gonna be like a Nacho series kind of thing where it was just this big setup and then just them dealing with it. But by the end of the second issue, I was like, fuck. And I was like, here we go again. More. I'm like, how are they going to get out of this one?
Yeah, I know. It's genuinely a lot of fun. It seems like.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. And so I was about to read issue 3, but I figured you're going to be here.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, great book. I felt like it was peaking on like Secret Wars level kind of event. You know what I mean? With like how big the situation is and how involved everyone is.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
I think it's just like a creative idea too, to like have like a global EMP and like how that affects Spider-Man with like his web shooters and how that affects Iron Man.
So
and stuff like that. So
do you, I don't know if you remember this that clearly, but Doctor Strange opens like a portal thing, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets like killed by the Uncreator or whatever.
Yeah.
And does Doctor Strange like shoot Sue Storm into the portal so she goes to this EMP world, or does he like zap her to safety?
I think he zaps her to safety, and then the Undoer is like him dying is responsible for all the like the electricity going away.
So when he died, the EMP multi dimension or whatever that stays open, like the portal or whatever.
Okay.
And so the EMP takes out like the world.
So maybe they got like warped into that dimension world or whatever.
No. That's what I thought. I didn't know if Sue went in there and then I'm like, oh, she can just come back out. If she just jumps through there or whatever.
Oh, I don't know. It's been 2 months now since I've read it. Cause I read it like number 1 when it came out.
Oh, okay.
So I'd have to probably revisit it, but
yeah, I was trying to move forward and thought I'd figure it out.
Yeah. I'm just on board with the concept in general.
So, yeah.
Very
but
fun.
It seemed like there wasn't really any stakes when things actually went out, like Iron Man's fine.
He's got steampunk stuff.
Yeah. Like he falls from the sky and like he could die in there or whatever. And then Spider-Man falls because his web shooters turn off.
Yeah.
I'm like, he could die, but no, he's fine. Is it continuity that, he's got like a spider daughter?
Sometimes. I think in Chip Starsky's run, he ends up having one, yeah.
What Spider-Man run did Chip do?
Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, she's really cute.
Cool.
You saw her in like the first issue, right?
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah.
At the end of the first issue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's cool.
Cool.
Anyway, did you watch anything?
Just Hawkeye, the third episode.
Oh, I didn't watch the third episode. It's pretty good. I watched the first two.
The first two are great.
So
let's talk about it, because we haven't really talked about it at all.
I really like Kate Bishop's like apartment. Like it seemed kind of like the one that is in the book.
She's doing well for herself.
She's doing well. Well,
as a 22-year-old.
It's like her parents' place or something, I think.
Yeah, sure. But like, yeah, it's pretty dope. Like she's got a little target that she could practice on.
Yeah. And then it catches on fire. I'm like, no, the place is cool.
I know. Like that would be the sickest place to have a party.
I like that they were able to fit the Russians into this.
Yeah.
And how they say bro all the time.
There's a bro counter somewhere. And I think we should... I'll have to see if I can find it, but I think we should...
Probably Reddit.
Take a guess on how many bros there's going to be this whole series.
Ooh, over-under.
Yeah, an over-under. I'll see if I can find it, but yeah, that'd be kind of fun. But yeah, super fun. Like, I think that Haley Steinfeld is pretty awesome for this.
I don't know if I like her as like Kate Bishop yet. Like, she definitely looks the part,
mm-hmm.
and I think she's like the perfect casting for it. But, you know, they're giving her like, you know, a lot of background and plot and like, you know, problems with like her parents and stuff like that. And so she has to be like a little upset for her to be like interesting.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, you know, the Kate that we were reading, you know?
No, definitely not.
So that's kind of what I was like expecting and wanting.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she'll just come around to that.
I like the ties to the Ronin stuff. I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah, I like that they worked that in there.
I definitely think that, I think Hawkeye felt a little bit off like the first two episodes. But I think they're trying to make him fit like in the Matt Fraction run where he's just kind of like down on his luck and he's like not as fun, which is where Kate Bishop is to like bring in some of the fun.
I think it worked well because he's never met this girl.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to like get this over with kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think he did well with that.
Yeah. And in the third episode, I think it lightens up a little bit from both of their ends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the ending of the second episode, there's do you know who that was at the end?
The leader. Was Echo?
That was Echo.
Okay, yeah. I like pieced that together.
Yeah.
Because she was like...
Deaf.
Deaf, yeah.
So there's some cool Echo stuff in the next episode that I really enjoy.
Okay.
I think that she's really cool. And in the third episode, there's like the coolest action scene, I think, of all the Disney Plus shows.
Wow.
It's just like fun and cool and creative how they shot it.
Mm-hmm.
So really good. I recommend you watch it.
I'll watch it after this.
Yeah.
I like how Matt Fraction is like a producer on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that should happen more.
It should. I like Lucky.
Oh, yeah. Lucky's awesome.
He's not called Lucky yet. I don't know. Like, how do they do like he's like winking all the time.
I don't think he has an eye.
Well, like, yeah. But did they just find a dog, a golden retriever that doesn't have an eye? Or do they just like CGI that?
Does he not have an eye in the book?
Yeah.
He's got one eye.
One eye. He's walking around like that.
It's possible. You know, I saw a picture where they posted the dog actor. I don't know what you call it. The actual actor. Dog. His name's like Fido or something. I don't know.
That's a lame name.
You know, it's probably something cooler than that.
Yeah.
But I think I remember having like two eyes open because I would have remembered if it was like winking or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
They probably just CGI'd it because it's not that big of a deal.
I like the ending of the second episode where he's trying to like clear Kate Bishop's name.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know her.
Yeah,
she falls in the glass.
It's so good.
So I'm excited about it.
Was the LARPing stuff?
Yeah,
that was pretty fun too.
I think it was. It felt like a chore. Like,
I just think
plot wise, it was like a side mission almost.
Yeah, it felt like a side mission for sure. But I thought it was fun because he's like, fuck, man. Like,
apparently,
I just have to do this.
Apparently, there was like a background character that was dressed up as like the old school Hawkeye with like the mask and shit. It looks really good, actually.
Nice.
I'll have to send that to you.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of like an Easter egg kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I think the third episode is my favorite one so far. So yeah, it just keeps going on the up and up.
Nice.
And yeah, good stuff. I like it.
Definitely. Did you only watch Hawkeye this week?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Nathan, let me give you something to watch.
Or I watched Happy Feet, but...
Why?
Because it was on when I got back home from podcasting last week. Robin Williams plays two characters in that movie. He plays Lovelace.
Wait, what?
Robin Williams plays, two characters. Two different penguins in Happy Feet.
Oh, cool.
He plays Lovelace and some other dude.
Nice.
Anyway.
A legend.
Continue.
Let me tell you what to watch.
Sure.
Did you know that there's a... Nathan, what do we love? We love Christmas episodes,
yes,
of shows, Christmas special episodes, and there is one that was released for Solar Opposites.
Really?
Did you know about this?
No,
I watched it today. It is excellent.
It's just like a one-off.
Yep, which is one episode. It's
on Hulu.
On Hulu.
Holy shit!
It is. I'm gonna watch that when I get home. You need to watch it when you get home.
That's awesome.
I loved it. I don't want to like hype it up too much, but there's so many references, and they were great.
Sweet.
And I'm like, Nathan's gonna love this.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
I just like turned on Hulu one day and it was like the main thing that they're advertising. I'm like, no shit.
Wow. I can't wait for that.
And so yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Did you watch any more Hitmonkey or no?
I have not, actually.
Okay. I just watched a couple episodes of that.
Yeah, been a hectic week. There was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Black Friday. We went to a game, got super drunk.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I lost my voice for a couple days.
Nice.
But yeah, I think the first couple episodes, like the first like four were like the best, like the
sure
next four it was just like okay, I guess they're toning down on the brutality, which kind of sucks, but I have like two more left, so we'll just see how that ends.
Cool. Is it a lazy is it a lady bullseye?
Yeah, Lady Bullseye. That's apparently cool. That's like a legit character.
It is, yeah.
So I didn't know that. I had to like look her up.
Yeah.
She seems cool.
She is cool. Her, I've seen her in something. I can't remember what though.
Daredevil?
In a comic book.
Daredevil?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Domino maybe? I don't know.
Okay. You've read Domino?
A little bit.
Like that one that came out a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was by like Gail Simone or something.
Yeah. I read the first issue and I'm like...
Pretty fun. Yeah. What, were you just about to say something else?
Yeah, I watched a couple streams of this dude playing Alien Isolation on Nightmare Mode.
Love that game.
Have you played it?
Yeah, it's great.
It's so funny.
It sucks at the beginning because nothing happens, but when shit happens, it's incredible. It feels like a movie.
Kind of.
On Nightmare Mode, you have to like be a pro gamer.
Yeah.
But when it's not that and you have time to like go hide and you see it like walk around and shit, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's just terrifying because they're so big in that.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see people freak out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the things I consumed this week.
I think I did watch another Channel 5 video that came out.
Oh yeah.
And it was like him at the Talladega like NASCAR.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It
so
is.
Not just a movie.
And it's just a bunch of people yelling and chugging beer out of like their shoe. And
oh, I saw that clip. That's so fucking gross.
It's really gross. But the whole thing is. Again, just like a fever dream. But yeah, love that channel.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
that's it. Yeah. Next week, Daniel.
Next week, what are we reading for your birthday week?
It's my birthday, which means that I have to pick something and you have to read it.
Yep. No matter what you say.
I got two options that I want you to pick.
I feel like you're going to make me choose one and then you'll go with the other one.
No, I think I genuinely want you to read these. So
okay.
I have The Immortal Iron Fist by Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker, David Aja.
It's kind of a thick boy, isn't it?
We could do the first trade.
Okay.
There's like a complete edition. I think that there's a trade of it. I can look that up. Or if not that, then I think we should do the most recent X-Force. I don't remember who it's by, but it's like in that the Hickman era of X-Men.
Uh-huh.
Hicksman? Hicksman? In the Hicksman era?
Yeah, yeah.
And I that book genuinely blew me away with how gorgeous the art is and how fun the story was.
Do you have to like kind of be
I can
in
explain
the know about
I can what? Explain all of it.
Okay.
Very badly.
I think I'd probably rather do like Iron Fist.
Okay, cool. Just let me see if there's
see a, the bad taste of the last one that we read.
Yeah, sure. Because there's good Iron Fist out there. Most of it's good. That one was bad.
Yeah.
So there's an Immortal Iron Fist Volume 1, which is 6 issues that I believe we should do.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's free too, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I really,
it's not free, but we can borrow it.
I remember reading this and I was like, this is everything I want it to be. So,
this is like a 3-year run.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, they got
it went for a while and then
they got two omnibuses.
I think the second omnibus is where Matt Fraction was not a part of it and I haven't read that one yet.
For sure.
So that'll be my birthday issue.
666. Yeah, okay. Sounds good. That's not too bad.
Yeah. I was going to do a Green Lantern thing because I do want to show you a good Green Lantern, but there's good Green Lantern for a Green Lantern fan and there's good Green Lantern for a non-Green Lantern fan.
Uh-huh.
And I forget where the good Green Lantern for non-Green Lantern fan is because Sinestro, Core War, tons of fun. But if you don't know Green Lantern, it's not. If that
do
makes sense.
Do you think I don't know Green Lantern?
Not to that level.
What level is there?
It's like you gotta know who the different characters of like the Sinestro Corps are. There's like Sinestro, there's like Arkillo, there's the sexy bitch, whatever her name was,
uh-huh.
And all sorts of stuff. But then like knowing the continuity up to that point is also kind of important. So I'd have to. So there's a specific trade, and I would need to do more research. But I'd rather do this Iron Fist book.
So there's a specific trade for non Green Lantern fans that is
to jump on. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's somewhere in the middle.
Maybe next year, buddy.
Yeah, maybe next year. So for now, Immortal Iron Fist, the last Iron Fist story is what it's called, which is false because there's been more after this.
Right.
Seems like they're setting themselves up for failure by naming it that.
Yeah. Does he get a...
Travel Foreman is on this as well.
Oh, cool.
Who we love from the Animal Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And David Aja, we love it.
Yep. He's... also incredible in this. So good stuff. And that's it for this week.
Does he get like chi erectile dysfunction in this?
No.
Okay, good.
No chi erectile dysfunction. If anything, he gets more chi.
Nice. We love a big chi.
Because he gets two fists. And this is the story where he gets two fisting action. Double fist action.
Oh, nice. We love a double fist.
Yeah.
Some DP action.
Thanks for listening. If you want to reach out to us, we're on email at tradewarriorspod@gmail.com.
Tell us what to read.
We're on Twitter at tradewarriorspod. And I'm on Twitter. You're on Twitter.
Yep.
Or we're on TikTok at Trade Waiters.
Yep.
And that's it. All right. Bye.